Well, good morning, everyone. Please stand. Let's grab a hymn book and turn in the hymn book to page 46. Page 46, When I See the Blood.
Christ, our Redeemer, died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
On the last.
Oh, great compassion, oh, boundless love, oh, loving kindness, faithful and true. Find peace and shelter under the blood, and I will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Under the blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, thankful for His complete, total, full sacrifice on our behalf. It's great to be here today. Good to see you on and all. Trust the Lord meet with us in a very special way today. We can give Him the glory, bit of the glory, bit of the honor and worship that He so richly deserves. Let's look around and see some visitors. It's good to have you folks with us. Trust that Metropolitan can be a blessing to you and be a help in your life today. We're here to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Trust the Lord help us with that. What we want to do right now is take a minute and welcome each other. Church family, get around and welcome our visitors.
Your way back to your seats. Let's also turn to page 220. 220.
Where I be, still 'tis God's hand.
on the second.
Sometimes with scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes when Eden's flowers bloom, by water still or troubled seen, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
On the last.
And with my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won. E'en death's cold wave I will not flee, since the good Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own. Listen to His voice, leave Him with your care, and be the cross. Give your idols up, look unto realms above. Turn not away to life's sparkling cup, truth's only in His love. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. The cross, Jesus will meet you there.
Amen. You can be seated.
Good morning, Metropolitan Baptist Church. Visitors, it's good to have you. Amen. Please come forward for this morning's offering. For those of you that haven't noticed this, it's part of the Hope Ministry, and it's something that we earn for the studies and things that we do. If you guys have any questions about this, get with Brother DJ. And this is, again, every Friday, if you guys would like to come, Hope Ministry. So tonight is the last chance to turn in your camp forms. We will be celebrating the camp forums for camp. We will be celebrating Pastor and Miss Marcia's 8th year anniversary on March the 10th. It will be a potluck, so bring your favorite dish, your two sides, and as you know, the grand finale. No, I'm just saying, all the dessert you want to bring. Okay, we always have room for dessert at Metropolitan. And we can take it home if you guys don't want it. And ladies, ensemble practice is not at 4:30, it's at 4:15. The G'days would like to say thank you for your cards, your prayers, your meals, and the calls. Brother David and Miss Kelsey and little Lucas, our missionaries to Argentina, have a letter out at the front. Please pick one up. And we have TTU, session one, the Pentateuch, begins March the 4th through the 8th at 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. I believe Brother Jeffrey's going to be teaching that. We got the basic computer classes with Logos Bible program March 11th through the 15th at 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. and the 16th at 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., which the 16th is a Saturday. So if you're interested in that, I believe Brother John and Brother Bruce will be teaching. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Father, we're thankful for another day here at Metropolitan. Lord, we thank you for your son. We ask, Lord, that you be with our pastor as he preaches your word. And Lord, just give us ears to hear, Lord. Prepare our hearts. Pray if there be anyone here, Lord, that is lost. I pray that they come to know Jesus Christ this morning, Father. We pray for our community. Pray that we can be that light, Lord. Pray that you lead us. We pray for this morning's offering. Pray that you bless it. In Jesus' precious, precious name we pray. Amen.
When angry waves toss your ship on the stormy sea of life, and the clouds of sin and sorrow turn your brightest day to night, just remember, though you drift off course, you won't drift out of His hand. And if you need someone to help you, Jesus hears, He cares, He can. Yes, He hears your faintest whisper, sees each tear that dims your eyes. He's concerned about each stormy cloud that darkens your blue sky. So if your problems can't be solved by the mind of mortal man, and if you need someone to help you, Jesus hears, He cares, He can. When the straight and narrow pathways lead through valleys deep and wide, and you search for the horizon, there's not a mountain top in sight. Just remember, there's a city, eternal rest at journey's end. And if you need someone to help you, Jesus hears, He cares, He can. Yes, He hears your faintest whisper, sees each tear that dims your eyes. He's concerned about each stormy cloud that darkens your blue sky. So if your problems can't be solved by the mind of mortal man, and if you need someone to help you, Jesus hears, He cares, He can. If you need someone to help you, Jesus hears, He cares, and He can.
Amen. I'm thankful He hears. Amen. Thankful He cares, huh? Amen. You can be turning this morning to the Gospel of John in chapter 9. I was talking with Brother Wayne Hudson this week, and we were discussing that it's sometimes hard to preach, especially large passages in the Gospel of John. John is one of the harder Gospels to preach from in that way. But on the other hand, that's what the Lord's been wanting me to do lately. And so we have dealt with this chapter. Really, this chapter deals with one event in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as He dealt with that blind man that was sitting outside the temple. And so if you will, please stand with me. And with the Lord's help, we'll finish this chapter today. We'll sum up a little bit. But we're going to pick up this morning reading in Gospel of John chapter 9 and verse 35. We'll explain the background in a minute, but it says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, speaking of that blind man. And when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Then Jesus said unto them,
If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. Father, we bow before you once again and we confess our great need of your direction, your illumination, certainly, as we would look into this passage. Lord, we're grateful and thankful, as we had just heard saying, that for your compassion, that you care about the needs and the situations in our lives, and we commend them to you this day, Father. Whatever the need might be within these walls, I'm asking you, Lord, to take note of it. Help, Lord, where that help is needed, and challenge us where we need to be challenged. And Lord, I'm sure there's places where we might need to be corrected or reproved, and we pray you do that as well. And Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name that you would forbid the wicked one to enter in any way, any capacity whatsoever, to cause a hindrance to what you would want to do in our midst. And we'll give you glory. We'll give you honor for what you'll accomplish in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Of course, we'll be seated. John's Gospel, the 9th chapter. We have this dear man who has been blind since the very day of his birth. And we see that the Lord Jesus Christ had taken mercy on him. And as he passed by him in verse 1, he then chooses to heal him in a very unique way. He spits on the ground and he makes a clay of his spittle and smears it, anoints the man's eyes, gives him instruction to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And the man returns with his eyesight. He returns seeing, but he's subjected to unrelenting questions from everyone. And ultimately, he is cast out, essentially excommunicated by the leaders of the Jews. And in these last verses of the chapter, beloved, they're no less important. They deal with some very, very pertinent issues. We have now in verse 35, the Lord Jesus Christ coming back on the scene. If you're mindful, from verse 8 all the way through verse 34, Jesus is nowhere to be found. As this man is facing the questions from his neighbors, from the Pharisees and all the rest, the Lord Jesus Christ is withdrawn. And as he is cast out, now we find the Lord Jesus Christ coming back and encouraging this man. And he had been so grilled by the Jewish leaders. I want us to take note here that this of his confession of the Son of God, this believer's confession of the Son of God. And in the words of verse 35 are tremendous. It says, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now, evidently, as all this has taken place, the Lord Jesus Christ is not too far away. He's nearby in some way, but he's withdrawn himself in the sense that he's not involved in what's been going on. And this miracle that had taken place has no doubt been the common talk of everybody in the crowd, both in the temple, outside the temple, nearby. And Jesus hears about what has happened to this man. And those words, aren't they tremendous? As he is rejected, the Lord Jesus Christ seeks him out. He hears about the man's rejection by his own religion, and he seeks him out. And when he finds him, when the Lord finds him, he has this special word of an encouragement for him, but also it's a question in itself. I'm thankful. Aren't you thankful that the Lord seeks out those that have been rejected by the world? Amen. I'll say it another way. And this is how I fit in. I'm thankful God seeks out the rejects in this old world. Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. As he's dealing with those in the church there at Corinth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as we begin reading in verse 27, the Apostle Paul writes this. This is tremendous. He says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence." God's looking for some nobodies that He can use as somebodies in this world. Like it or not. Now, I'm getting in trouble. It's all right. I'm always in trouble with something. Like it or not, by the world's standards, most of us fit in Paul's words there somehow, some way. That's okay. That's just fine with me. I'm the first one to confess to you that I'm nothing more than a big fat zero with the rim rubbed out. What are we? What are we in the scheme of things? Which fits you this morning? Now listen to this, okay? Listen, are you rejected by the world but sought out by the Lord? Or are you sought by the world and maybe rejected by the Lord? Wow. You need to know where we fit there. So we read, the Lord Jesus Christ asks the man the eternal question, does He not? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? And we find the man. He doesn't know a whole lot about what's going on. I mean, he's been grilled for who knows how long. The Pharisees and the others were grilling him and asking him all these repeated questions. He doesn't have answers for them except what had happened to him. He's working with the limited knowledge that he has concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But with that, this man, rejected by the world, believes on the Son of God. Yes, we see him progressing in his faith. We find him progressing in his faith. Did you know everything that there was to know about Jesus when you got saved? What do we need to know to get saved? Fortunately, we don't need to know a whole lot. I can sure confess that I didn't know much. I knew I had a need. I knew I was in great need. And I knew the Lord Jesus Christ could meet that need. This man in our passage, he acknowledges his condition. He acknowledges his need. How do you know that, preacher? Because he did as he was instructed and went to that pool of Siloam to wash. If he didn't realize his need, he wouldn't have bothered listening nor obeying to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 36, listen to his answer. The man answers and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Now, what's he saying? He said, "I would believe. I would believe on the Son of God, but who is He?" The whole nation of Israel was looking for the Son of God. They were awaiting the coming Messiah. Even the Pharisees, in their blind condition. He had very little knowledge, did he not, of that man that had put the clay on his eyes and instructed him to go and wash. And he did exactly as he was instructed to do. Now consider it, would you? Consider it. A man comes along. You've been blind since the day you were born. A man comes along that you don't know from nobody. And he anoints your eyes with this clay that he's made out of spittle and the dirt from the street. And he tells you to go and wash it off in a particular pool of water. And you do it. You do what you were instructed to do. And that's your only encounter with this man. That your only encounter with this person, yet you choose to do exactly as he tells you to do. Now, that, consider that, folks. That's kind of says something in itself, does it not? And you return with your eyesight. You come back with your eyesight, but now the man's gone. The man's nowhere to be found that performed that miracle on your eyes. Rather, you're greeted by the dismay and consternation, if you will, of everyone. Your neighbors, your friends, and the leaders of your own religion interrogate you. And eventually, they excommunicate you from the temple worship. Well, Jesus returns. Jesus approaches the man, and you have the first opportunity to look to see this man that had performed the miracle for you. You have the first opportunity to put a face to that voice that you'd heard earlier. And that same voice that instructed you on how you could receive your sight now has his own question for you. You'd think this man had been tired of questions by now. Dost thou believe? Dost thou believe on the Son of God? What's Jesus doing? Jesus is essentially asking him to put his faith in him. He doesn't realize that. He doesn't understand that yet. But take careful notice of the man's answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Who is he, Lord? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Now, some of the commentators I read about this passage, they say, well, he was just being polite, and how you might address somebody in a polite way. And sometimes this word that we have here translated Lord is also translated simply Sir, even in the Gospel of John. But it's also that word that is translated Lord. When Thomas, be mindful, Thomas, oh yes, dear Thomas, when he was confronted by the Lord after the resurrection, and the Lord had had him put his fingers into the nail print of his hand and to thrust his hand into Jesus' side. And what did Thomas do? He cries out as he fell before the Lord Jesus, "My Lord and my God." So I don't want to minimize the words of this man as he addresses the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes beyond. Back in verse 17, I believe it was, he refers to him as a prophet. And now he's sharing with him a far, far greater respect. Respect indeed. Who is he that I might believe on him? And it's interesting, there's only a couple times in the Gospel of John where the Lord Jesus Christ literally reveals himself to someone. And it's interesting that it's not to the Pharisees, it's not to the priests or the Sadducees, it's not to Peter, James, and John or the other disciples. It was to a woman of less than glamorous reputation at a well outside the city of Sychar. And to this formerly blind, beggar. What does he say? The Lord Jesus Christ Verse 37, he said unto him, speaking to the man, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Huh? Wow. What a God. Earlier in this day, now consider this. Earlier in this day, the words, thou hast seen him, would have been a cruel thing to say to a blind man. But not now. Not now. Now the words ring in this man's heart. He's looking into the face, beloved, he's looking into the face of the Son of God. Oh, let's do a brief reconstruction of this man's day, what he's been through. It begins as every other day for him. He's sitting there, the gate of the temple, begging for his daily existence. He's there begging outside the temple. A man that he does not know takes note of him, anoints his eyes with that clay that we said he made of his own spittle. His instruction was to go to wash in the pool of Siloam, which he does. He does. He receives his sight and returns to nothing but questions for everyone. Well, we can understand that there were a lot of questions about what happened to him. Everybody, what happened to you? I mean, what would we have done? We would want to know all about it. But of course, with the Pharisees, they weren't satisfied with that. When they found out it was this man, Jesus, that had healed him, they went to work to try to discredit this miracle. When he cannot answer their questions the way that they want him to answer them. Very important. Why did they keep questioning him and questioning him and questioning him? Because they wanted him to answer those questions the way they wanted them answered, not by the truth. Not by the truth. Cannot answer. So they throw him out. They cast him out. It's very serious. To a Jew, to be cast out of the synagogue, to be cast out from the temple worship, to essentially be excommunicated from his religion, was extremely serious. But as a cast out, that stranger that had tenderly and yet powerfully and miraculously given him sight, is now back. He's now back. And he seeks him out with this further question. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? The impact of all of this is not lost on the man. Can't be. It's not lost on him. He sees Jesus because of what Jesus had done for him. He sees him in a far different way than those Pharisees saw him, than the Pharisees had seen him. He's looking into the eyes. Again, can we overemphasize this? He's looking into the eyes of the Son of God. And the Son of God asks him, do you believe? Do you believe? Well, of course he believes. Of course he believes. The man believes. For listen to the words of verse 38. Simple. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. I believe. Blinded. Blinded by their hatred. Blinded by their self-righteousness. The celebrated Pharisees could not believe. No, they refused to believe. They rejected any possibility that Jesus Christ was that anticipated and expected Messiah, their Christ, the Son of God. But this man, with his new eyesight and his fresh faith, believes. He believes. This word for worship, it's a special word. It's the Greek word that we get our word prostrate from. To prostrate oneself. What's that mean? To prostrate means to be to fall down. The word would be used to describe someone doing homage to a king. And here we find this man declaring his faith, and falling on his face before the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Oh, Lord, I believe. I believe. Indeed, I believe. Granted, contrast, isn't it? Here's the religious leaders. They couldn't see for their prejudice. The blind man, he sees. The formerly blind man sees. Well, it seems as well that there's some of the Pharisees are still hanging around. If we read on here in verse 39, Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Well, that seems like a really confusing statement. Well, we have to put it into the perspective of what's been taking place here. What a pronouncement from the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very sad, plus very, very serious. Man-made religion is deadly. Man-made religion and religious tradition is deadly. The Jewish leaders were waiting for their Messiah, and here he is standing in their midst, right with them, and they can't see him. They who professed that they could see could not see. You see, the Jewish leaders were waiting and they missed him. Totally missed him. Why? Well, he didn't fit. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't fit into their little man-made box for their God. And I was thinking about that the other day, and I remember an old preacher. He's an old North Carolina mountain preacher. He's been with the Lord for 20-some years now, but it's interesting that someone along the way will say something and you never forget it. And his name was Frank McGuire, pastored in Burlington, North Carolina, big man. And he had a way of saying things that really got a hold of me. Guess I'm just kind of that away, but he said, you try to put God in a box, and just about the time you think you've got the lid nailed down, and here he is, this big old man, he'd say, he'll pop the nails out of your box and be loose again. Amen. I want a God that's loose.
Right.
Man's never been able to create a box that God fits. He's never made a box that you can fit God into. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Lord Jesus Christ declares here in verse 39 that judgment will be accomplished. Now, he's not talking about coming to judge the Pharisees here. We have to understand, the coming of the Son of God was judgment in and of itself. The very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in their midst brought them to a place of decision. Judgment, decision, they go together. And the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ demanded a decision. And as Jesus is speaking here, in verse 39, he's broadening who he's talking to. If you notice back in verse 37, he's talking to the man, to that man that was formerly blind. It says, Jesus said unto him. And then in verse 39, it simply says, and Jesus said. He's speaking there to everybody that was in earshot. But notice down as we drop down to verse 41. It says, Jesus said unto them, speaking of the Pharisees. So he's gone from speaking and dealing with this man to dealing with everybody, but specifically dealing with the Pharisees in their blindness. In their blindness. Jesus not talking, as we mentioned a moment ago, about proclaiming judgment on the world. No. No. You see, the Pharisees and their crowd refused to believe. They chose to not believe. It was a willful... It was not that they did not understand. Jesus dealt with folks like that. They refused to believe. It was a willful act. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, just as they had rejected the man that Jesus had healed. This choice to believe or not believe takes place every time the Word of God is opened. Every time the Word of God or the Gospel is proclaimed, a choice must be made. There is judgment to be dealt with. I'll say it this way. How will we judge? Will we judge it by the truth? Or by our own prejudiced heart? Jesus' presence brought judgment to the Pharisees. And we, every time we give an invitation after the preaching of the Word of God, it is to facilitate that choice, that decision. You know, many get upset in today's quote-unquote evangelical community, whatever that means. Oh, we don't give invitations at our church. We give invitations here. We invite folks to act upon what they've just heard. Huh? When we preach the Word of God, there's choices to be made. What's the choice? Do I believe? Put it in the context of what does Jesus say? For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Notice verse 41. Jesus said unto them, to the Pharisees, if ye were blind, you should have no sin. But ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Oh my. They refused to believe. They refused to believe what the Lord Jesus Christ had declared. You see, notice his words. Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world. I am come into this world. Once again, in the Gospel of John, we find the Lord Jesus Christ declaring himself to be the I am, the ever existing God. He said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's not I was, I am. The ever-present God of the Scriptures. This is the same God that revealed Himself to Moses at the burning bush. He says, I am that I am. The Lord Jesus Christ is the personification of the I Am of the Old Testament. The I Am has come. And we see is in the Lord's earthly ministry, the I Am had come into this world. Why did He come? Why did He come into the world? Why has the Son of God come into the world? Jesus came that we might know our God. Very simple, isn't it? Jesus came so that we could know God. 1 John talks about this. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 20. John writing there. And he says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him. Why did Jesus come? Why did the Son of God come? So that we could know our God. That we may know Him that is true and that we are in Him that is true. Even His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. Why did Jesus come? So that we could know God. So that we could know God. You see, the blind man received not only physical sight, he received so much more. He received a sight to be able to see the Son of God. Was he the only one standing there that could see Jesus? No. There were many there, including some of these Pharisees. Jesus declares that justice will be accomplished. Justice, judgment will be accomplished. As we said, Jesus didn't come as a judge, but His coming brought to bear eternal decisions. His coming, excuse me, His coming separates the chaff and the wheat. His coming separates the saved and the lost. His coming separates the believer and the unbeliever. There are those, we understand, that just like the Pharisees, do not see their need of the Lord. They don't see their need of the Lord. Hey, I was part of that crowd for a long time. Didn't see my need. Didn't understand that need. And as the Pharisees, their self-righteousness blinds them. Now again, it's different, I know. The Pharisees had that religious self-righteousness, and there's plenty of that to go around. But there's also a very strange self-righteousness at work in the world today. It's in a religion it's a religion whose object of worship is man himself, if I can say it that way. Huh? It's a religion that worships the Creator, as Paul warned about in Romans 1, rather than the Creator. Stick with me, please, and we'll draw all this together as we finish up. They don't see. They're blind, right? They can't see their need. Can't see their sin. It leaves them in this awful, awful situation. They see themselves in this world today as above all of that. You with me? I don't need to be saved. I don't need that Bible stuff. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, Jesus said unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. Jesus says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I understand. We're here this morning, and I'm so thankful we're here. But in many cases, we don't even know what's going on inside us, do we? Last Sunday, I was hacking and coughing and still got a little bit of that going on. And there's a lot of folks, even out today, because I hope it wasn't me that gave it to them. But when we got that hack and the cough, we know we need we need the cold medicine or whatever it is. The Vicks Formula 44 or whatever works for you. But there's sometimes we try to kid ourselves, don't we? Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. I don't need a doctor. I figured my wife would say amen to that. I don't need that doctor. What did Jesus say? They that are whole have no need of a physician. The idea of those that don't recognize their need. But they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, Jesus said, but sinners to repentance. The man who sees no need of Jesus is hardly ever going to seek Him, to seek His help. And we see here in our passage the blind ignorance, the willful ignorance of the Pharisees. They ask Him, are we blind also? And obviously, as I tried to portray, they were doing it in a very sarcastic way, a mocking way. You're talking about, you think we're blind too? They knew who He was talking to. They knew Jesus was talking to them. If they could see what the healed man saw, they wouldn't ask the question. They'd have been asking for His help, for His mercy. The severity of their spiritual blindness was evidenced by the question. You think we're blind too? If they could see what they needed to see, they wouldn't have asked the question. And so we see the Lord Jesus Christ, and these are strong words, but we see Him condemning them. Their condemnation, His condemnation of the Pharisees. You see, their rejection of Christ was the obvious evidence of their spiritual blindness. That they didn't, that they were willfully ignorant of. They chose their blindness. Very serious, isn't it? They denied their blindness. The blind man could not be healed unless he acknowledged he was blind. In the very act. I mean, he knew he was blind, obviously. But by his act of obedience and going to that pool to wash us, his acknowledging his need of what Jesus could do for him. The sick man, as we said, refuses. If he refuses to seek the cure, he'll never be cured. The lost person cannot be saved until they acknowledge their lost condition. The sinner cannot be changed until he acknowledges his sin, deals with his sin. Jesus was the cure, but they would not have Him. They rejected Him. And what did Jesus tell him? Here it is. But now ye say, we see. We're whole. Therefore, thy sin remaineth. Wow. You see, the greatest plague in society is this willful blindness to sin. It's a willful blindness. The Lord Jesus, the writer of the Gospel of John deals with this in the third chapter of John. That condemnation that abides on the sinner, continues on the sinner. People refuse to acknowledge their own darkened hearts. It's a great burden on my heart in these days, beloved. It's so symptomatic of what we're dealing with all around us in society. Everywhere we go. This willful blindness to the point that it's a hatred. The Pharisees hated Jesus because the light He brought into the world condemned them. The world hates the biblical Christian.
Amen.
Because of the light you bring to bear in this world. The world condemns you for daring to say its behaviors is sin. We hear every week now something about those crazy Christians. Mark it down. If you turn the TV on and there's a Christian in it, he's going to be some kind of a nut. Huh? Why? Because the world hates the light.
Amen.
Rejects the light. The world wants to protect its sin with a cloak of man-made darkness. Now this man-made religion that is sweeping our land is a worship of man himself. And man's wisdom. Stick with me. I may be crazy. I might be nuts, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. The lost world in which we live. Now listen. This lost world in which we live claims that its drunkenness and its immorality is normal. This is normal behavior. It's fine to lie and to cheat and to steal to get what you want. We see it every day. Just look at Washington. Half of this country believes it's okay to kill a baby. Huh? Is that symptomatic of where we're at in our country? It's all right to kill a baby. And they deny, though this world denies God's design as to what a man and a woman is. I learned that in 10th grade biology. And I'm not very bright. Huh? You see, that's what makes it, that's what takes it into this realm of religion, if you will. Because it's a system of beliefs. And their doctrine is formulated by the wisdom of man, not by the wisdom of God. I'm not trying to be a purveyor of doom and gloom. I'm trying to get us to wake up and realize where we're at.
That's right.
And the situation in this. We need to protect these young folks.
Right.
From what's going on. Huh? I don't know. Hey, I'm way past raising kids, thankfully. I got grandbabies though. And I'm praying, man, I'm praying, I'm begging God, please protect them. This world wants to devour them before they can ever enter in and make a difference. We need to pray for these young people. That God had set that special hedge of protection about each and every one of them. Hey, I'm praying, I'm looking forward that God is going to raise up some soldiers of the cross.
Right.
Huh? I know. Hey, I understand that I'm a whole lot closer to the end of this thing than I am to the beginning of it. And we need some soldiers to step in to the battle.
Man.
Jesus was hated. Should we be surprised that the world doesn't like us? Huh? Should we be surprised? Beloved, we should say, well, we must be doing something right.
Right.
Huh? We must be doing something right if the world doesn't like us. The world wants to shut us down, to shut us up. Now they're trying to tell us how you better be thinking. If you don't think things our way, you're the wicked one. Am I lying? It's that crazy Bible-thumping preacher that's the troublemaker. Filling those people with all those crazy, fanatical... Notice, use words like fanatic and you can isolate somebody. Have you heard it? Huh? Fanatic! They're Bible fanatics!
Amen.
Hallelujah! That's me!
Amen.
Huh? I'm just crazy enough. I'm just fanatical enough to believe what God says.
Amen.
By the way, I think you've heard this before. Read the last page. Guess who wins? God wins.
Amen.
God wins. Because with all said and done, there's coming a day. You listening? The trump's going to sound.
Right.
Huh? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, which would you druther? Do you ever think, am I the only one that's thought about this? Which would you druther? Go ahead and die and go off to be with the Lord and come back with Him mounted? Or to be here and take off from here? I don't know which would be better. Can't do both, I guess, but... What do you say? Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
The King is coming again.
Amen.
And I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the world thinks of me. Huh? I don't care about their questions and questions and questions and telling me that we're the wrong ones, that we're immoral. Can you get it? Someone that stands for life. Someone that stands for what a man and a woman is and what children are. Huh? And you're the immoral one today. Don't you let them do that to you. Don't you let them do that to you. You stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Huh? Huh? And you say, well, they won't like it. Tough. Because my King's coming again.
Amen. Right.
He's coming again. We've been talking on Sunday nights about this hope.
It's that glorious hope. Hallelujah. It's that hope that there's a God in glory. And He is in charge. I'm thankful in this passage. Dan, forgive me. I got to quit. But I'm thankful that Jesus kind of stood back out of the way. For all that time when this poor guy is getting grilled by the Pharisees. He's out of the way. Just letting the whole thing go on. And they've had their say. And this poor fella is rejected. I mean, he doesn't know what's happened. Consider it. He doesn't know what's even happened to him. He knows he can see. Hallelujah. And then Jesus sought him. How do you know that? Because it says he found him.
That's right.
And can you imagine? They look into each other's eyes. And that man saw the face, the eyes of the Son of God. He's like, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Where is he? I'll believe." You're looking at him. Wow.
Man.
Beloved, someday, Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will come again. And I don't know, I don't want to pretend to have all the answers or know how it all going to fall out. We're going to see Him. We are going to see Him.
Amen.
And the Bible says face to face.
That's right.
Hallelujah. But the question remains for us this morning. Dost thou believe? The name of the message. Dost thou believe? Do you believe, beloved?
Amen.
Do you believe what this world is trying to tell us? Or do you believe what God says? Don't let the world wear away at your faith. It's tough, I know. Anybody here like to be hated? If you are, there's some guys in white coats out there who want to talk to you. No. But I want to go with God, not with man. I want to go with the Word of God, not man's wisdom. Huh? Jesus, the Son of God. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for your patience. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for that compassion, mercy that we heard sung of. Thank you for the lesson of this blind man made whole. Lord, forbid, please, God, please, forbid that any spirit of the Pharisees would be found in us, that we'd long and desire that spirit of mercy, spirit of compassion, a spirit of love that our Savior had. Lord, I don't know this morning if the hearts of those that are in this room, hardly know my own heart, Lord, but I'm asking you to brood through this auditorium. Might your Holy Spirit go to where each of us are. Lord, I know that you're a God that is able to discern both the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Lord, I'm asking you in Jesus' name, the name of your lovely Son, please, Lord, don't let a single person leave this room without knowing Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as their Savior. Please, Lord, draw them beautifully, savingly to yourself. And Lord, as a child of God, as one of your children, I'm asking you to help us as a people, as a church family. Lord, we're living in such dark, dark times. Times, Father, that are so confusing, so chaotic, so evil. Pray, Father, oh God, I'm praying for the man standing behind this desk. Help him. Please help every person that knows you in this room to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. That, Lord, your truth would be our banner. Your love, Father. Yes, we understand this world's darkness. But, oh God, please, please help us to love folks, to care about folks, to tell folks about our Savior, our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask it, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 351.
As we sing, dear ones, these altars are open as always. The invitation is there. Please, please do as the Lord would instruct you. Please obey Him. Whatever the need might be. Maybe you're here today and you're not sure where you'd spend eternity. Please don't leave this place without knowing. We're here. We'll pray with you. We'll point you to Jesus. He loves you. Cares about you. If we can help you, we want to help you. Please, do what the Lord would have you to do today. Obey Him. Amen, Brother John.
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my Master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. He drew me closer to His side. I sought His will to know. And in that will I now abide. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. It may be through shadows dim, or o'er the stormy sea. I take my cross and follow Him wherever He leadeth me. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go.
Since early on in my Christian life, I've 30 years, more than 30 years, I've studied and read and prayed concerning revival. I'm talking about a week of meetings. I'm talking about God moving fresh on His people. That God, by God's Holy Spirit, would be poured out afresh and anew. Folks, we need the chaff, the mediocrity, and the lukewarmness to be burned away in these days. This old world isn't going to be changed by the mediocre Christianity that surrounds us. It's going to be changed by a people that are on fire for God.
Amen.
That are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive me, I know there may be some things that I've been haranguing about lately, but I'm concerned about the spiritual condition of our churches in these days. Concerned about my spiritual condition in many ways. My prayer, my pleading with God is revive Thy work, O God, in the midst of the years. In wrath, remember mercy. Revive us again that Thy people might rejoice in Thee. See, I wouldn't preach another message if I didn't believe that God was able to do just that. I wouldn't step behind another pulpit. I didn't believe that God is still able to do for us. We hear so much, we've gone too far, it's too dark, it's too late. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. As long as God is still God.
Amen.
And you and I, His people, are still here. There's a potential for revival. So please join with me in praying that God would start right here. Focus our hearts on Him once again. You might not need revival, but I do. Amen. Brother John, would you come?
Let's have a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to You now and just pray for our lives, our church, our country. Lord, help us to turn back to You. Lord, help us to have You on our minds at all times. Lord, help us to have revival personally and as a congregation, as a nation, Lord. Just pray that You'll work in our hearts to start that work in us individually first, Lord, that we can stand for what's right, what is truth, to share that truth with love and with mercy and with grace to our neighbors, to those around us, to those that don't know You as their Savior, for those that are just down and out and maybe just backslidden, Lord, help us to stand for truth. And to love You. Lord, we love You and we want Your will. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.